Wow, what a blessing to gather together as a church family here at FBC, all together as one. Usually we have the two services, but here we are together. Thank you for your flexibility and accommodations. For some of you, this service is different, and for all of us, it's different because we're blending two together. And so we rejoice in that. And so thank you for your part in that, for singing out. I could hear you singing, and that was a blessing, and worshiping the Lord together as a church family here at FBC. And again, look forward to our members meeting here in a little bit as we conduct the member matters. And again, as a church family, take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 19. As we continue in our study through the book of Matthew, we continue our flyover, taking in a full chapter at a time. Last week we observed in chapter 18 that Jesus modeled or taught on the fact that love is willing to tackle the most difficult challenges. We learned that love is willing to do that which may be difficult in order to establish, to maintain, and even reestablish relationships, because Galatians 5:6 says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And so we come to chapter 19, and as we look at this, I just want to cause you to think that and remember that the Scriptures are not disjointed. We would think that, okay, Jesus or God in the writing of Matthew is just changing into a different subject here. But there's reason why that this chapter follows chapter 18. In chapter 19, it is as though, as chapter 18 was talking about all these matters of love, it is as though God anticipated a question that would be on everyone's mind. If all of these things about love are talked about here on developing, maintaining, and reestablishing relationships, what about this question? Look at verses 1 to 3. When Jesus had finished these sayings, all these things about love, in difficult circumstances, situations, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. He continued his ministry. And the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful to divorce a man's wife for any cause?" And the question on everyone's mind would be, okay, if love is willing to do that which may be difficult in order to establish, maintain, and reestablish relationships, because the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love, then what do you do about divorce? I mean, here's a couple who was supposed to love each other, and they had an established relationship. They're directed to maintain that relationship in love, and Jesus taught on how to reestablish even a fractured relationship. So what do you do about divorce? Here's our take-home thought here today, and that is love overcomes heartbreaks. Love overcomes heartbreaks. Would you agree that divorce is a difficult matter? Some might be here this morning and say, "Pastor, you're getting ready to step on a landmine," because it is a difficult matter. And most of all of us have been touched or affected by divorce in some way. Some of you personally, you've been through it. You know the heartbreak of divorce, and you know the difficulties, and you know the challenges. And most all the rest of us who maybe have not experienced it personally have had family or friends who have gone through the heartbreak of divorce. And I want you to know that Jesus speaks to this, and he does so lovingly. And he continues in this vein of, here's how to deal with this in a loving way. Obviously, we can't take time to give a whole workshop on the matter of divorce, but for our purposes today, we want to look at what Jesus says about this in this passage. Look at verse 3. Pharisees come up to him and tested him. "Is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause?" Their purpose was not to find out truth from Jesus. They wanted to test him. They wanted to try to pin him into a corner. It was kind of like they were saying, all right, you talk about all this matter of love, and yet Moses allowed for divorce. So what do you have to say about that? And Jesus replies, verse 4, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh? So they are no longer two, but one. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. Love overcomes the heartbreak of a failed marriage. Love overcomes the heartbreak of a failed marriage. Divorce has been compared to the death of a loved one. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, there is the grief of loss of that relationship. And heartbreak, I think, is a descriptive term concerning the matter of divorce. And so in addressing the question of divorce for any cause, and I think that's the emphasis here, for any cause, how do you deal with this? Well, Jesus, he starts out, and if you remember 1 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, that the Word of God gives us, is profitable for that which is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. And so what Jesus does here is he shows them, all right, just a second here. I'm not going to deal with the issue of divorce yet. I want to teach you what's right. I want you to have a right view of marriage and the marriage relationship. So Jesus teaches true marital love. God's plan for marriage is intimate companionship. That's God's plan. And that's what true marital love should be all about. God desires for your marriage to be intimate. Now, intimacy isn't referring just to or merely to the physical relationship or sex. It's the thought of becoming one, being intimate in all areas of your lives together. That's true intimacy. Becoming one. And so many couples are missing out on this wonderful aspect of marriage. But that should be that for which you continue to work toward and build in your marriage. Now, some of you are single or not married, maybe divorced. And you might say, the temptation here might be to just check out in your mind. Please don't do that. I would ask you to pray for the families of this church in the ministry. Pray for one another in this important area. It's foundational. Because so many couples are missing out on this very matter right here. But that should be that for which you continue to work toward and build. And that means it takes time, it takes attention, it takes effort. Take the initiative to develop that intimacy in your marriage relationship. It does not happen automatically. Wouldn't you agree? As soon as you put your marriage and your relationship with your spouse on autopilot, you begin to coast. And what does coast mean? It means you're going downhill, right? It takes time, it takes effort, it takes work. You know, in the movies, you see the initial Twitter patience of a relationship, right? You know, and you think back to those times, it's like, you get the chills and like, man, this is awesome, you know? But very few movies show what it takes to continue and to build on that in that relationship, right? Right? But that's what it takes. So here are some foundational matters of which Jesus reminded the listeners that help develop intimacy. All right? Some things that show what true marital love and an intimate companionship involves. Here's the first one. And that is, God designed marriage for one male and one female. Right. You see that in verse 4. Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? You see, gender is established upon creation, conception, and God therefore assigns appropriate organs for that gender. Gender is not subjective. It is not up for opinion. It's not a fluid matter. One day I think this way, and I think I'm this sex, and the next day I feel like I'm that sex. That's not God's design. And Jesus makes it clear. This is Jesus' teaching right here. An individual is either male or female. So this gets into the whole discussion of gender identification. And there may be some, Pastor, you're not being real PC this morning. You don't know. And I understand that there are those who struggle with this matter. And it's a heart issue. But based on what God says here and elsewhere, gender issues need to be understood in light of the clear teaching of Scripture and dealt with accordingly, with love and understanding. We here at FBC, we need to understand someone who struggles with these issues, just like you and I struggle with other sin issues or heart issues in our lives. All right? So we're talking about the issue of love here. So we're gonna come alongside an individual who may struggle with these matters, and we're gonna say, hey, okay, we love you enough, we want to help you with this and give you some direction on this. And that's what we're doing here this morning. There's love and direction right here. But there's also an appropriate call for repentance and faith in the matter, to have a biblical understanding of these issues as Jesus taught them from the beginning. He created them, male and female. Here's another foundational matter that will help develop intimacy. And that is that marriage is an exclusive relationship. Look at verse 5. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife. No other relationship would fulfill this purpose. As close as children may be to their parents, God says to leave and to cleave. Parents, guard against a child-centered home. In fact, and it's easy to do. You know, you get little Charlie or Susie, you know, they're born and it's like, oh, the most precious bundle. And, oh, man, you know, we want the best for little Charlie or best for little Susie. And life tends to revolve around them. And Charlie and Susie, they're just like, this is great. You know, ain't life grand? And all they have to do is scream and they're there, you know. And we tend to start developing the habit that it's all about Charlie and it's all about Susie. And so then as they grow, we start getting them involved in every little activity that comes along. And you're running your tail off, making sure that Charlie and Susie are happy. Guard against a child-centered home. Because marriage is the exclusive relationship. Make your spousal relationship the most important primary earthly relationship. No other relationship would do. As close as you are to your children, they are not to replace your relationship with your spouse. And if you don't develop that with them when they're little, when they're young, when they leave the home, there's going to be a hole in your life, your relationship together. Because that's not the way God designed it. God designed for children to leave and cleave. And that's what Jesus was saying here. And so if you focus on the fact that marriage is an exclusive relationship, it's going to make a difference in your relationship together. And by the way, I'm not getting into this, but your relationship, I guess I am getting into it because I'm going to say this. But your relationship is a picture of the Godhead. He says here, the two are one. In the Godhead, you have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We sang about that just a little bit ago. The three are one. two are one. Those are they're hard to understand, but the marriage is a picture of that. Does your marriage picture the Godhead? And here's another picture. It's a picture of Christ and the church. Christ and His love for the church. And we've been singing as a church of our love for Christ. Your marriage should reflect that. Marriage is an exclusive relationship. And I'm going to say this without apology. Your spouse should be your best friend. Some of you are saying, you'll say, oh, my best friend is, and you'll talk about another somebody. No, that's not the way God designed it. Don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? I'm not saying don't have other friends. All right? My point, though, is that your spouse should be your best friend. You should be able to talk to your spouse about anything, and I mean anything. That's how God designed it. It's an exclusive relationship, and that means that some here may need to make some changes in your relationship together. Change your thinking about your relationship together. And you may say, but I have this best friend. And I'm not saying, you know, break up with your best friend. I'm just saying that change your thinking about that very close friend to my spouse needs to be my best friend. Change your thinking about that. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Here's another foundational matter that will help you grow in intimacy. And Jesus teaches on this, and it builds on this, and marriage is the most intimate of relationships. Verse 5 and 6. Again, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one flesh. No other relationship would or should be like the marriage relationship. The intimacy referenced here goes beyond mere physical intimacy. The physical relationship is merely a reflection or celebration of intimacy and openness in all other areas of a couple's life. We preach loud and strong that intimacy without commitment is wrong. And it's sin. And that's right. That's good preaching, right? But let me say also, with the same fervor and maybe even a greater fervor in light of our discussion here, the word here today, with the same fervor that commitment without intimacy is just as wrong. It's sin. No amen on that? But I'm going to say it again. Commitment, hey, we're married, but we don't have much of a relationship. That's just as wrong. Because it's sin. Because that's not the way God designed it. No doubt, there are couples here this morning that are merely existing together. With the belief that divorce is wrong, so they stay together, and yet they're doing little to develop that intimate relationship of which we speak here this morning. You're missing out. If that is the case, and you're just existing together, you're two ships passing in the night, you are missing out because that's not the way God designed it. God desires you to be one flesh, which is a reference to all aspects of life together. And so I call you to repent. If you recognize it's a matter of sin because we're not living the way God would have us to live, repent from that. And it starts, I believe, with the heart. Change your thinking about this and bring it in line with the Word of God as we have it right here. But begin communicating. Turn off the TV. And start to talk. Talk about anything. Talk about everything. There should be no secrets between you. Except Christmas, birthdays, and anniversaries, okay? But they're going to find those out sooner or later, right? Share the secrets. Share the dreams. Share the nightmares. When's the last time you went out on a date? Just the two of you. No kids in tow. You know, get somebody. You know, couples, you can share, okay? We'll watch your kids if you watch mine. And, you know, let's make a deal. Work things out. Just the two of you. Do things together. Play games. Go for a drive. Work on a project. Work on a puzzle. That'll take all winter. Teach a class together. Go shopping together. Guys, don't groan. Go to a festival. Take a trip with just the two of you. Just a getaway. Be creative so as to grow in this matter of intimacy in all areas of your life together. You do those kinds of things. And then the physical intimacy tends to celebrate that intimacy that is evident in all these other areas of your life. Marriage is the most intimate of relationships. Jesus mentions another foundational matter that strengthens intimacy, and that is marriage was established as a permanent earthly relationship. A permanent earthly relationship. Verse 6, what therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. God's plan and desire for a marriage is to last a lifetime. That's His plan. That's His desire. The Pharisees then in verse 7, look at verse 7, they said to Him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and send her away? In essence, they were saying, well, if that's the nature of marriage and you just gave all these ways of displaying love through establishing, maintaining, and reestablishing marriage or relationships, then why did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce? And Jesus responds in verse 8, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed for you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Divorce was not God's design for marriage because of the presence of sin, He regulated it. And he goes on to establish a standard of regulation, verse 9. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. The standard of regulation which Jesus established is that divorce is not appropriate except for sexual immorality. Now in 1 Corinthians 7, Paul speaks to a matter and he says, Paul brings it up and he says, now I'm going to tell you something that Jesus didn't talk about. There's another exception, and that is desertion. If the unbeliever wants to leave, let him leave. And if that's the case, a spouse is an unbeliever or even in the church declared as an unbeliever and wants a divorce, let him leave. And Jesus didn't speak to that, but Paul did. But here Jesus is talking about sexual immorality. And the Greek word translated sexual immorality is the word, listen, the Greek word is porneia, from which we get our word pornography. And the tense here is a continuous lifestyle of porneia. One act of porneia doesn't necessarily constitute cause for divorce. Go back to what we talked about last week about restoring a broken relationship. But a continuous lifestyle in sexual immorality, Jesus says, is appropriate cause for divorce. The point that Jesus is saying is that you can't divorce for every cause. That just negates what I was just saying about establishing, maintaining, and reestablishing relationships. relationship and the marriage, because of the importance of that relationship, should be a loving relationship, as we've been talking about, an intimate relationship. But when marital vows are violated by sexual immorality, then Jesus lovingly allows for a marriage to be terminated. I tell you what, there's love there. Jesus understands the heartbreak that you face or are facing in this kind of situation. The disciples then respond, "If such is the case," verse 10, "of a man with his wife, it's better not to marry." And Jesus responds, "But he said to them, 'Not everyone can receive this saying, but only those to whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who have been so from birth. There are eunuchs who have been made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Let the one who is able to receive this receive it. And there are those for whom it is appropriate not to marry." And which brings me back to those of you who are single at this particular time. I implore you to look at your singleness as an opportunity to serve God in a great way. And one way you can do that is pray for marriage relationships. Pray for one another. And do what you can do to encourage and foster good marriage and solid marriage relationships as you serve the Lord, even through the ministry here at FBC. By and large, marriage is that which is common according to God's plan, and singleness is the exception. And I submit that love is still the emphasis of this discussion. God lovingly provides for divorce when warranted in this way. And divorce in this case, as well as desertion, is not sin. Now, you say, well, my divorce, it didn't fit into that category. How do I deal with that? Well, I do believe that there's love and grace and forgiveness on the Lord's part. Recognize it as so, and don't promote it as anything other than that. And if or when possible, work toward restoration. Interestingly, in verse 13, Jesus models a familial love. Again, this isn't by accident. After this discussion on divorce, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples rebuked the people. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and went away. Here's the point. Love overcomes the heartbreak of rejection. Love ministers to and cares for children. Even the disciples tried to turn the children away. I don't know what their reasoning was, you know. Whether it's like, they're too young for all of this. Get them out of here. They're bothering everybody else. It's like, wait a minute. No. Let the little children come to me. As I said last week, there's a place for child evangelism. I spoke of the 4:14 window. Most people have trusted Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. I'll tell you what, if you want an enriching ministry, get involved in the ministry with children, because their hearts are ripe unto harvest. I mean, what you want to see people come to Jesus? Minister to children. And somewhere along the line, you will see a child, and you may have the opportunity of leading that child to Jesus. Jesus desires that children be brought to him and be saved. And so we must evangelize and disciple our children. And now, that is priority of parents. Okay, if you're a parent, your priority to your children is to evangelize them and disciple them. And you have those 18, 20 years to do so before they leave and cleave to another. Man, take advantage of that. What an awesome opportunity you have to build into their lives the truths and principles of salvation and discipleship and knowledge of God and growing in His grace. That being said, we must evangelize and disciple them as a church. But the church is merely a supplement to parenting. Don't think, I took my kids to church, for 20 years and, the church failed or the church didn't do all that, or I just hoped that they would get it from the church. No, again, the church supplements that. And it's appropriate for the church to do that, but not to take it all on. You have the majority or the biggest responsibility there. So parents, be intentionally engaged with the spiritual growth of your kids. Don't reject them. Well, Jesus displays more love in verse 16 and following. Behold, a man came up to him saying, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to them, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments." And he, the young man, said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these I have kept. Check, 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 check. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was a rich man. You see, remember that love is willing to do that which may be difficult in order to establish, maintain, and reestablish relationships. Well, here we see that love overcomes the heartbreak of refusal. There are times when you may speak the truth in love and that truth is refused. And more than once, I've shared the gospel, the truth. I've spoken the truth. And it's person says, "Thanks, but no thanks," or "I'm not ready," or, "That's just a bunch of baloney." There may be some here this morning, as they've heard truth about marriage and all of that, say, "Well, that's just your opinion." And there may be some here who refuse it. But love overcomes a heartbreak of refusal. Love speaks the truth in love with the hopes of establishing relationships. Love does not minimize truth in order to appease. It is loving to help another identify his or her heart issues or sin with the hope that they will respond to the truth. Jesus was willing to tell this rich young man the truth regarding his heart with the hope of establishing a relationship with him. You do this, and I want that relationship with you, but it's hindering, your riches are hindering this relationship with me. The young man was focused on externals of keeping commands, and Jesus exposed the idol of his heart, riches. Now, wealth does not keep you from heaven, okay? It's not the point here. Wealth does not keep you from heaven. But as the saying goes, it's not how much money you have, it's how much of you your money has. And that's why Jesus says in verse 23, "Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, you got to understand this. The disciples heard that and they were like, "Oh, Jesus, you're killing me. Oh, that is hilarious." Because Hebrew humor is that of exaggeration. Even in last chapter when Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. They were going, oh man, whew, that is crazy. And if your eye offends you, pluck it out. It's just, oh Jesus, my goodness, that is hyperbole or exaggeration was Hebrew humor. So when he said here, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, he's talking about a literal needle. Now, some have said, well, next to the gate, eastern gate or whatever it is, there's a little place that camels are supposed to go through. And that may be the case. But right here, Jesus is talking about it is easier for this two-humped camel to go through the eye of this little needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. They were just, it was very vivid illustration and was hilarious to the people who are listening. Illustrating the difficulty of the rich due to their self-sufficiency to enter the kingdom of heaven. I think Jesus, though this was a vivid illustration and may have been humorous to an extent, it drove the point home that self-sufficiency won't get you to heaven. If you think you can do it yourself, you're wrong. And Jesus told this with love so as to establish a relationship, and it was refused. And the disciples then asked, verse 25, who then can be saved? How in the world could anybody be saved? And Jesus replies in verse 26, with man this is impossible. It is impossible for you to stand before God. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Because salvation is a work of God. Not a work of righteousness or good deeds that you have done. But by His mercy, He saves you. You can't earn or work for salvation. That's why it's called salvation. He saves you. Someone who is drowning, They don't need swim lessons. They need someone to save them, right? And only God can do that for you. It is a gift of God. Then Peter, verse 22, it said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have? What then will we have? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on His glorious throne, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for My sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. I just want to tell you, God blesses faithful love. God, when you turn to God in salvation through Jesus Christ, as we just spoke about, that He died for you and rose again, and you realize, I can't do it. I'm going to believe that He did it for me on the cross, and I believe that, and I trust in that for my eternal salvation. You're turning your back on all other things, and you're looking to Him for that salvation. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, for God is not so unjust as to overlook your work and the love that you showed for His sake in serving the saints, as you still do. God recognizes that. He recognizes the person who humbles themselves and comes to Him in salvation, and then as a result, lives to serve Him. He won't forget that. Are you being faithful to the Lord? Are you being faithful to the Lord in your marriage? Seeking to develop that intimacy that God so desires in your marriage relationship. Some of you need to make a commitment here this morning to do just that and put forth the effort of love and care and intimacy in your marriage. Don't settle for anything less. Now, I say that not everyone has arrived, or nobody has arrived, right? Nobody has the perfect marriage relationship. We can all grow in that, but don't settle for just ships passing in the night. Don't settle for it. Well, I guess that's just the way it is. do your part in developing that intimacy? Are you being faithful in your witness? Are you being faithful in witness to children? I encourage you to consider the blessing of ministry to children, your own children, as well as to children here in the ministry at FBC and in the community. You want to be a part of a ministry that bears fruit regularly? Serve with children. We need help in our children's programs. It's just not a vain appeal. We love our children because God loves children. We need van co-pilots. We need two van co-pilots, just two, to ride. Our children, child care and protection policy says we have to have two adults in the van. We need two people to help with that. Sundays and Wednesdays, come a little early and help us out. Minister to children. You won't regret it. Are you being faithful in your witness to others around you? Do you love the lost to the extent that you're willing to speak the truth, even if the truth is refused or rejected? Jesus continues on this matter of love in some difficult situations and circumstances. Let's evaluate our hearts before Him. Heavenly Father, as we come to You, You, through Your Word, have exposed the issues of our hearts. And we recognize, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, that apart from You, we can do nothing. And these things are difficult, even as we talked about last week. But love overcomes. And we see here that love overcomes heartbreaks. We have marriages here that are struggling, that are hurting. There are individuals who need these truths here today. And I pray, Father, that we would see marriages mended, restored, strengthened. Father, there are a lot of good marriages as well, but I pray that those marriages would be strengthened. That couples, as a result of our time together today, would evaluate their relationship, their marriage relationship together in light of the clear teaching of Your Word. And be willing to make changes, and if necessary, to repent from sinful thinking and to think biblically. And do that which may be difficult in order to have that intimacy that You so desire in their relationship. And God, I pray for our ministry to children, Father, that we would not refuse them, that we would not reject them. Be faithful. Father, may we not have to continue to appeal to minister to children because You love the children. And it's right for us to minister to them and to do so faithfully. I pray that parents would take that responsibility seriously in the home. God, I pray that they would just view these precious children as souls who need that nurturing because they're going to face eternity. And may parents see their responsibility to bring their children up in the training and instruction of the Lord and be intentional about discipling their children. And I pray that we would be faithful then too as a ministry to do so faithfully throughout our children's programs. And I pray, Father, for all of us to keep our eyes open to ministering to those around us in love who need to hear the gospel. And some of them, they may reject it, they may refuse it. But Father, I pray that we would be sensitive to that and still be willing to speak the truth to them in love, that they would be one to You by the drawing of Your Holy Spirit working through us. May we be instruments in Your hands. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how you may have been touched through God's Word here this morning, but I just pray that you will take to heart these truths, however they may apply to you in your life. I'd like everyone to fill out a connection card and take that from the pew in front of you, or go to YouVersion or to our website and fill that out. Jot down how God has spoken to you through His Word here today. You need to make a commitment. Jot that down. We want to pray for you. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you. We pray for you concerning these matters.